And welcome now to the Midday for Tuesday. I'm Norman Gilliland, and we could actually have a little brass choir here, I think, because we have Tom Curry, who is a tuba player. We have Mark Hetzler, who plays trombone, and Dan Grabois, who plays the horn, and they're all here with a purpose in mind. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thanks.
Thanks for having us.
There's a lot of brass in the air, going to be in particular in the air in the next few days. And it's are we calling this a festival, or what exactly is that?
We're calling this Brass Fest, and in fact, we're calling it Brass Fest 3. This is the third time we've had a brass festival at the School of Music, the Meadwitter School of Music, as we are now called, at UW-Madison. And this one is bigger and better, and it's a wonderful project. And this time we have the Stockholm Chamber Brass, which is an incredible brass quintet from Sweden.
We play their CDs from time to time. They go back a long way.
Yes, they do, and they'll be playing a recital, and they'll be playing in the big brass ensemble with us, and we are also having high school brass players join us on stage for the concert on Saturday night, playing a piece by Gabrielli.
How many does that add up to?
We'll see.
A lot, okay. I mean, as if one brass instrument couldn't make enough sound by itself, you're going to have a whole festival worth of them. And Gabrielli, now, Dan, or Mark, or Tom, any one of you, did Gabrielli, we hear him as a brass composer, did he write all these pieces for brass originally?
Gabrielli would have written these pieces for ancient relatives of brass instruments, as well as other types of stringed instruments or wind instruments and voices. There came a time when it worked out really well for us to try to play these on modern brass instruments, and now we play these Gabrielli pieces quite often.
Another thing that we associate with Gabrielli and the Italians of this time, the 16th, 17th century, is the antiphonal effect. Like, we have trombones over there, we have trumpets or trombones over here, the geographical separation, which can be so effective. And is that a factor, too, in these works by Gabrielli?
It absolutely is. As people may know, Gabrielli wrote these big antiphonal brass choir pieces, or choir pieces, to be performed originally at the Cathedral of San Marco, which is in Venice, where he was employed as the music director. And that is a very large marble structure with lots of domes, and the idea of positioning musicians around the floor of the cathedral created the effect that music was, which was sort of a divine inspiration, was coming from everywhere. It wasn't just one person writing one piece, but that it was ever-present and came at you from all sides in a, I would say, a stereo effect, except often it was a three or four choirs.
Surround sound.
Yeah, or the original surround sound.
Yes, indeed. And so when we perform pieces like this in Mills Hall, we get some separation from the different elements of the brass choir, not usually trombones here and trumpets here, but usually mixed choirs of instruments on one side and on the other side. And we think this is going to be a real thrill for the high school students to get to experience this as well.
I think for the audience, too, to be immersed that way. Well, let's hear one of these works by Gabrielli, Giovanni Gabrielli, and it's the Canzon Duodecimi, and this particular performance, we're hearing Empire Brass, and I like the way they did this, Empire Brass and Friends. Well, it's powerful, even if you're not right there, just hearing it in this form on the radio via CD, that total brass sound of Gabrielli as played by Empire Brass and Friends. And we have three brass friends with us for this part of the midday today. They're Tom Curry, tuba, and Mark Hetzler, trombone, and Dan Grabois. Did I get that right? Do I remember that right?
Or Grabois, like Grabois. Illinois.
That's right. I remember that from before. Now, Grabois. I knew there was something a little off about that. And they're at UW, Madison, and they're also major players, no pun intended, in the upcoming festival, this Brass Fest that's going to feature Stockholm Chamber Brass on September 30th and on October 1st, Stockholm Chamber Brass plus the Wisconsin Brass Quintet and college and high school students. Real brass gala. Mark, you actually participated in one of these recordings with Empire Brass and Friends, recorded in a church to get this effect?
Well, how did you do that? While we were listening, I was giving you some of the inside scoop. The group recorded two Gabrielli albums. I was on the second album, and both of these albums were recorded in the Berkshires in western Massachusetts at a place called the Berkshire Performing Arts Center. And if you look in the CD liner notes, it says it was recorded in Studio A, quote-unquote Studio A. But a little inside scoop, Studio A was actually a very large gymnasium, large enough that it actually held four full-size basketball courts. So we recorded that album in a giant basketball court gymnasium.
Is that sort of thing done often? Was that the sort of thing one would seek out? But it seems to have worked.
Yeah, I mean, I think musicians are always looking out for good acoustics, whether it's a church or a performing arts hall or a gymnasium. I know there's a few albums made by a trombonist out on the West Coast in a cistern that was buried under the ground.
That'd be the water music.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Boom. And as far as recording in the gym, any kind of difficulties or tricks or challenges to perform?
Well, like any good space, it's just a matter of mic placement. So once you put the mics up, if you've got a beautiful reverberant sound, you've got what you need. I know in the case of the second recording, the one I was on, when we recorded it in the middle of the winter, and there was no heat in the building. So between takes, we had brought these like sort of fire blowing heaters in that made a lot of noise. So we'd try to get the place warm, and then we'd turn everything off and then run takes until we got too cold, and then we'd do it again. So it was,
I guess, just shooting a few baskets wouldn't be an option.
I think a lot of people were doing a lot of physical activity between takes as well, but yeah.
Another composer that we associate with brass is the Russian, late 19th, early 20th century Russian composer Viktor Eyvald, and he's well represented by brass quintets.
Yes, he actually wrote for instruments that are not exactly what we play now. He's a romantic composer in Russia, and he wrote, instead of for trumpets, he wrote for cornets, and there are euphoniums.
Oh, so more like what we'd associate with a band?
Yeah, more band, military band instruments, alto horns instead of French horns. The tubas would be kind of similar. And he wrote in a very, very romantic style, and brass musicians love playing his music because we don't get that much of a chance to play romantic music, because Brahms and Tchaikovsky and the rest of that lot were busy writing for strings and piano and orchestra, and they did not write for brass instruments. Their brass parts in their symphonic works are magnificent, but when we play Eyvald's music, we get to play romantic music all by ourselves, and it's a thrill.
And what is this from this quintet number three that we're going to hear, this movement?
Yeah, this is the slow movement, and it's beautiful.
Thank you. sound of romantic brass in the context of a wind quintet by the Russian composer Viktor Ewald, that performance by the Stockholm Chamber Brass, and that group will be the guest artist performing during Brass Fest, which is the next few days here at UW-Madison, and I mentioned those two events. Is there more than that going on, Dan? Or
yeah, actually, we have quite a bit going on for the Brass Festival. Wisconsin Brass Quintet is in residence, as you may know, at the UW-Madison School of Music. And we always thought it would be a good format to invite a guest brass quintet in for each of our brass festivals. The first year we ran it, we had the Western Brass Quintet from Western Michigan. And then last year, we actually had a really fantastic group called the Axiom Brass, and they're out of Chicago. We're very excited this year because we've got one of the world's finest ever brass quintets in the Stockholm Chamber Brass. And they'll be here, as Dan said, they'll be here for 2 days. September 30th kicks it off. We've got an evening concert featuring just their quintet at 8 p.m. But before that, we've got a 2:25 masterclass for... all of our students. It's open to the public. And then from 4 until the concert, we've got a variety of vendors, music dealers and whatnot. Everything from Getson, Edwards, Schilke, three brass manufacturers. They'll have a lot of their instruments and accessories, as well as Hyde Music, which is a Wisconsin music dealer. And all four of those businesses will be on site with all kinds of things to try out, to look at, to blow into, to do all kinds of stuff. And then on Saturday, October 1st, we've got, again, the vendor booths will be open from 12 throughout the afternoon. And at 2:30, we've got an open masterclass with the Stockholm Chamber Brass for chamber music. So they'll be coaching some of our student groups, maybe some high school groups. And then at 8 p.m. on October 1st, we'll be featuring both the Stockholm Chamber Brass as well as the Wisconsin Brass and a large brass ensemble concert featuring all kinds of original pieces for a large brass ensemble as well as some really exciting transcriptions and arrangements. You'll hear Shostakovich, Gustav Mahler, in addition to the Gabrielli.
And quick question before we all forget, and that is, it's one thing for us to say that, and radio is a wonderful medium, but to actually see all this information in print, I assume there's a website?
Of course, the School of Music website. If you go to the UW-Madison website, you can link to it, or you just go to the School of Music website.
Which is music.wisc.edu. Music.wisc.edu.
Got it. Okay, that points right to it. We have one more piece, or part of a piece, which Tom Curry brought in, and this is also featuring the Stockholm Chamber Brass on that very Swedish label, Bis, which put out all kinds of things, both contemporary and more traditional, but this is more on the contemporary side, isn't it?
That's right. This piece was written in 1998 and was commissioned and premiered by the Stockholm Chamber Brass, and then recorded by the Stockholm Chamber Brass. It's a really fast-paced, energetic. We performed it a couple years ago. It's a real thrill ride for audiences and performers alike. You're going to hear a lot of little snippets, little tiny motives that kind of accumulate into these bigger gestures, and a lot of really neat brass effects. It's really beautiful brass writing. The piece is Brass Quintet by Anders Hillborg.
That was just the first part of the Brass Quintet by Anders Hillborg, a Swedish composer, represented on a CD featuring the Stockholm Chamber Brass. And that is the guest ensemble for Brass Fest number 3 at the UW-Madison. And we've heard some things about it and got some nice insights into some brass classics, too, from my guests today, Tom Curry, tuba. Thank you for being here today. And Mark Hetzler, trombone.
Thanks for having us.
And Dan Graboy.
Great to be here.
Horn. Have a great time in the Brass Fest. It's a really busy time. You're all dressed up for the next event already.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot for having us here today, and hope to see a lot of people out there Friday and Saturday.